One of my favorite things to do is to go hiking. I love the peace and beauty of a hiking trail. I love the people that you meet along the trail, frequently offering a pleasant greeting as you pass each other. I love the experience of being so close to God's creation, taking in all that we have been blessed with around us. And yes, I love that sense of accomplishment when the hike is concluded, reflecting back on where my feet have traveled. I've had the opportunity to see some awesome sights along the way. From Mount Higbee in Meriden, you can see New Haven to the south and Sleeping Giant State Park, and all the way up to the Worcester Mountain Range in Massachusetts to the north. I've taken short walks to Moss Glen Falls in Granville, Vermont, where you can go swimming at the foot of a 150-foot waterfall on a hot summer's day. And I've reached the summit of Camel's Hump in Waterbury, Vermont. From 4,083 feet up, you can see all of Lake Champlain to the west and a different view of those same Worcester Mountains to the east. Along the way, you pass the wreckage of a B-24J bomber that crashed into the mountain on a training mission in October 1944. 9 of the 10 airmen who were on board lost their lives in that crash. And when you reach that location, you ponder just how miraculous it was that the 10th was able to be rescued from such a high and remote location. These are truly amazing experiences. But they don't happen without gaining some knowledge. Any hike, even the shortest and simplest of destinations, requires gaining some wisdom around the path you plan to follow. You need to learn the route itself, including how difficult the trail is to hike, what changes there might be in elevation, what markings indicate the trail itself so you know where you are, and where there might be complicated and challenging stretches along the way. You need to learn what the weather will be during your planned hike time, and what clothing you'll need to stay protected on the path. You need to determine what your hiking pace will be so you'll know when to start in order to finish before you lose daylight on your return or before your family starts to panic and wonder where in the world you are. If you pause and you listen to the information provided by those with experiences already and apply the lessons that they share, the hike goes incredibly well. And you have an amazing experience. If you try to go it on your own and choose to ignore the wisdom of those who have traveled the path you haven't yet followed, you're likely in for a really rough day ahead. Today's scripture from Ephesians is continuing on the lessons we started back in July while we were together at Westfield with our siblings in Christ. There we explored how God's grace is enough because our power is made perfect in our weakness. We talked about how God's grace reaches all the people far and wide, more broadly than we can possibly imagine ourselves. We learned how God's grace connects us in community, bound together to love and support each other in our spiritual walk together. And we explored how the writer of Ephesians then lifted up a prayer that extends an open invitation to all of us to let Christ take over and for us to become the best version of ourselves. All of this was the foundation that then leads to the next logical piece in the letter, which is what we are called to do ourselves. We talked about what God does for us and how we should let Christ in. But none of that makes a difference if we then don't take the blessings we're offered and apply them well. We've skipped over a bit in Ephesians chapter 4, where the writer shares what community should look like, as well as the importance of setting aside our old lives and taking on new ones. And we may, in fact, return and explore those points in a future worship. But for today, let's hone in on the lesson shared in Ephesians 5. This one that shares with us how we are to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us, and how we're to pause, listen, and gain the wisdom God has to offer each of us. The writer doesn't do this randomly. In fact, the text offers a bridge between the life we need to turn away from and the life we need to start living. It starts with turning away from ignorance and turning toward understanding what God is calling us to be and to do. Take advantage of every opportunity, because these are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. When we talk about understanding God's call to us, we're not talking about academic knowledge. We're talking about learning and applying the values that God asks of us. Values that were taught to us by Christ so that we could learn and apply them. These were called out in Ephesians 3. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. I'm not naive here. This isn't easy stuff to do. My own family will tell you that just within the last 2 weeks, I haven't always shown gentleness, patience, and acceptance of everyone in my life. But that doesn't mean I'm allowed to discard this call. Each day needs to be filled with ways to reflect and build toward an ability to accept each person with love, regardless of where we view the world differently. Because when we do allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, the Spirit sets our hearts on fire. The next piece also can be taken to extremes if not considered carefully. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If we isolate the first part, not getting drunk on wine, we end up focusing on the thing, alcohol, and not the action. Wine itself isn't a sin. I mean, after all, isn't wine the basis of the cup we serve at communion, representing the blood of Christ? But wisdom comes from looking at the full context. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We all go through different seasons of life. At times, we enter a season of struggle and pain. It can be tempting at that point to get drunk on wine and shut the pain out. But instead, here we're called to be filled with the Spirit. At our lowest points, that is exactly the time to turn more strongly to God in prayer, asking for the Spirit to enter us, sustain us, and give us renewed hope. Because the Spirit is what will enable us to get through that tough season, but also merge and come out stronger than we were before. So if right now you're struggling, ask for the Spirit to enter you, to inspire you, to guide you. That's the wisdom that will provide a safe path while we walk the journey ahead. Next comes the one we don't do nearly enough. It's the wisdom of song. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. This doesn't have to be complicated. I found in the past that daily devotionals are an easy way to turn our hearts toward God and lift our voice, even silently within our own internal voice. Devotionals like Words of Jesus for Men. Or Donna graciously presents our daily bread right here on the stand. It's available to you right here. Each day providing you with a piece of scripture and then a little bit of reflection, something to think about. What does it mean how do I apply this? When we read those devotionals and we work through them, it guides our thoughts, our words, and the songs of our heart toward God, just the way this wisdom shares with us to do. The reading then concludes with another challenge, perhaps even tougher than conducting ourselves with humility, gentleness, and patience. We are given the wisdom that we are to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submit to each other out of respect for Christ. For how many of us has it been the case that when we are at our lowest, we cry out to God, pleading for intercession and help? But when we experience the high points of our lives and the celebrations in life, we simply take them and don't reflect thanks for what God has done for us. We need to find ways to make sure we're thanking God for the blessings we do have, not just here on a Sunday morning. And the message doesn't stop there. This isn't just about saying thank you, God. This is about showing our gratitude by honoring Christ's gift through, as shared here in Ephesians, submitting to each other out of respect for Christ. Here again, interpretation can lead to resistance rather than freely and openly respecting the ministry of Jesus. If we take the interpretation of submission as to give over or yield to the power of authority of another, we tend to dig our heels in for the most part. No one likes to give over control to someone else. But what if we read submit as meaning to present for the approval, consideration, or decision of another or others? This is a whole different way to look at things, and more likely what we are called to do as the Ephesians were asked to do. If we live our lives giving ourselves for consideration of others, we're focused on living in community rather than selfishly living for ourselves. It's this area where we have the greatest opportunity to grow and the greatest opportunity to receive in return. We have so many chances to submit to others in Christian service. It can be as simple as giving someone a hand with their groceries when we see them struggling. Or it can be paying it forward by paying for the order of the person behind us in the drive-through line. It can be offering to volunteer to help out, to help Westfield at the Woodstock Fair, or to help St. John's with packaging food next month. And each time we do this, we're allowing the wisdom of the Spirit to guide our feet toward living a wiser life. And at the same time, we're building a community that grows around us, each person making us just a little bit more blessed, which then leads to more music in our hearts and more chances to thank God in the name of Jesus. The cycle, once it gets going, becomes a powerful world of hope, of laughter, of peace, and of love. So when we step out of this space this morning, let's do so committing to seeking the wisdom of the Spirit, to letting the Spirit fill us with that wisdom, and with then sharing it with those around us, speaking words of encouragement to all we encounter. The views we will have when we do will make the views from Mount Higby or Mosklyn Falls or the summit of Camel's Hump pale in comparison. May the grace of God surround you, the Holy Spirit fill you, and God's wisdom carry you toward every blessing God has to give you. Amen.